We are very privileged also to welcome Kim Goodwin back today. Kim, as you know, is one of our members of our church, one of the longest longest living members of our church type of thing. You know what I mean? She's been here about the longest of all of us, maybe except for Janelle and Joanne as well. She's just back from Indonesia, where she is, Borneo in Indonesia. Where she's been ministering. She's got some amazing stories to tell. There's going to be a cafe night coming up where she's going to give us lots of, you know, you're going to hear some amazing stories and have some good food and coffee and fellowship as well. But anyway, Janelle, Kim will tell you more about that. But why don't you just stand now and let's welcome Kim, eh?
Thank you very much, everybody. And thank you very much, Pastor Trent. I feel honored you came back when I'm here. Feel special for that. And our team is very shocked, and we were praying for you, our staff and our missionaries. Yeah. And I'm a medical person. For those of you who don't know, I also work in the hospital, you know. So I really knew how serious that was. You know, sometimes I wish I didn't know what I did know, you know. And I said to my staff, okay, we are believing for a great healing, but I just want you to know that if anything really bad happens, I'm going back. You know, I just told them because we were planning to move to Borneo again, you know. I'm going back for a while. I said, I will have to be there, you know. But praise God, amen, that come through that, yeah, very, very dangerous, very serious situation with septicemia, very serious condition, you know. So we're just really grateful for God and also the prayers of everybody, yeah. We will be having a cafe night. We've been working a lot in Borneo, therefore we have a lot of wild demon stories, some provision of food miracle and some healings and a lot of amazing things. We're also doing a new discipleship strategy that we're working on to put, you know, the hands of the gospel more into the indigenous tribe. And this may also be something we'll share a little bit that you might be interested actually for yourselves, because this is kind of a methodology. It's very non-threatening that you also can use for other religions. Yeah, that's spreading for making disciples of Jesus. Amen. And so we want to get past just being converted, but for ourselves and also the people we're with. So we'll introduce a little bit about that also. Love you to come along, just support us for that. So if we could have the PowerPoint up, thanks very much, Lydia. So today I want to talk about the mind. And I believe that in this generation, more than any other generation, that we're going to have to take more control over our minds. So it used to be one generation, two generations ago, actually the world and the culture was not so much different from what the church was, you know, in terms of its morality, its thinking, you know, its way of life. So you will become a Christian, you be converted, you become a lover of Jesus, but maybe, you know, the culture, the morality, like your mind, it's not that much different. But now the world out there is a different world and influencing us and influencing our mind. And while we are the people of God, who I know especially in this church, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, the dependence of the Holy Spirit. We believe on the moving of the Holy Spirit. But God has given us some possession and some responsibility ourselves of over our physical body and also over our mind. Amen? So there's things the Spirit of God does, yes, and He is always the one that's enabling us. But there are also some things that the Bible says that we take responsibility for, right? Because otherwise, we might be a fully robot. Yeah, we might be fully possessed with no kind of mind of our own. And so I feel like most of us give time and give attention to our physical body, right? About what makes it feel good, you know, whether it's like the entertainment or our food, our comfort, how it looks, we give attention, you know, especially us ladies, you know. And also for it to do good and to feel well, right? And we actually give time for that, you know. I think all of us in different ways, we give attention and we give time to do things that support our physical body. And I believe also with our spirit. So the Bible says we have our human spirit, right, which is fed from the Word of God, from our fellowship. And I know all of you here, because it's Sunday morning, you're not still sleeping in bed. I wish that I was, because it's still only like 5 a.m. Indonesian time. Just came back Thursday night. And you give time, right, for your spirit man, right, for your, you know, devotional, for reading the Word of God, to support your human spirit, right, and the strength of the Spirit and God working inside of you. But I think most of you, or many of you, including myself, we don't spend that much time on developing our mental thinking and developing our mind to support. And so in our walk with Jesus, in our following Jesus, we all, I believe, have the heart, you know. We have the heart that loves God. We have the heart that believes in prosperity, believes in faith, believes in healing, believes in love. But our mind also has to follow along. Amen? It has to follow along with the heart. It has to follow along with what you feel and what you think. The mind has to also be there and be following along. So, and you know, the Word of God says, you know, in Revelation, that Satan is accusing us day and night, accusing the brethren. Day and night, day and night, day and night. Why? He's jealous of you, because you are representation of Jesus Christ. Amen? You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And there's nothing he can do, right? There's nothing that he can do to pull you out of this kingdom, this amazing kingdom that you live in. And so one of his main strategies is he's day and night, he's accusing you in your mind that you're not good enough. You're not good enough. That you're not who Jesus says that you are. Accusing you in your mind, right? Replaying over and over and over your mistakes, your failures, your regrets. He's playing those over and over in your mind, because that's the only way that he can try to push you down as a child of God, as a daughter of God, as a son of God, is by bringing that accusation that somehow you are not good enough as a mother, you're not good enough as a father, you're not a good enough Christian, right? You shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that, you should have done this, you should have done that. And so there is a relentlessness. It says day and night, there's Satan accusing the brethren, right, coming. And that's why we have to, no matter, like, you are the person that loved God. Yes, you are the person who the Holy Spirit's flowing through. You're the person that knows things, but we're going to have to take a hold of our mind, amen, and be in control of it and be in possession of it. And especially, I will say this, if you're single, like me, I'm a single, anyone doesn't know me, you know, you have a lot more thinking time, you know, because you don't have as much time, you know, you're not doing this, taking this kid here, doing this, you know, you just go home and it's just me, you know, it's actually amazing, you know, this is great, right, you know, I hear married couples saying, oh, praise God, I got half an hour free time, it's like, I have free time all the time, you know, even though I'm busy, you know, I have a lot of free time, but that's a lot of mental thinking time, right, and especially if you're not sharing a lot of your thoughts with another person, you know, so the people who are single, I believe people that are retired, or especially if you just got retired, because suddenly before your mind was taken up with doing things, right, and thinking about things, and now you don't have that. And so I believe your mind becomes into a more vulnerable place, right, where you suddenly get time. And especially, I will also say this, when you have a spouse and your husband or wife die, I believe you're in a very vulnerable position, because I've seen so many people, you know, it seemed like they never get over it. They're never able to move on. They're never able to get, they lose their own identity. They lose their confidence and they lose their hope for a good rest of their life after their spouse pass away, you know. And of course, there's going to be a very, very deep grief, because there's been, you know, sometimes people have had 30, 40 years of a very happy marriage, right? And a lot of your identity and confidence and strength you don't realize is, you know, through the union with the other person that it's supposed to be. And so if you're not able to take hold of your mind at that time and what you believe and who you are, you will be an open door, you know, for the devil to move in and to push down who you are, right? And I've seen that so many times after a spouse has passed away, you know, the other person never fully comes into themselves. So at certain times when we are very vulnerable. So first of all, I want to just talk about, because there's a lot in the world about this now, right? About mindfulness and your thinking and all of these things. And the reason is because people are suffering now from mental illnesses, from depression and from anxiety. I've also struggled with anxiety at certain seasons in my life also. And so there's a lot of this around. And so it emerged that the world has got a lot to say. And I've also looked into it. And I believe that some of it is good, you know, but it's not the full package as a Christian. Amen? And but I do want to share just before I start into how you're going to take control of your mind and your thoughts, not let it just go crazy. Your mind go crazy. You don't take care of something of it, right? You imagine if you never took any control over your body. We would just eat chocolate every day, you know, and we'd just lay in bed and we wouldn't get up, right? That's what my body would do anyway, right? Watch Netflix, right? Your mind is the same. There's not some kind of structure in there, which I'm going to teach about today. It just will go crazy in its own thing, and other outside things will come in and have something to say also, you know, that's not God-honoring. But anyway, so what's emerged in the world is, you know, this whole idea of mindfulness. Now, sometimes as Christians, we might feel, and I wasn't sure in the beginning myself, you know, should we really just stay away from this? It's a bit New Age. It's a bit, you know, and some of these kind of things come from, you know, Middle Eastern or Buddhist things like that, right? My personal opinion is that when I've just researched and read some books, you know, from Christian perspective of these, of mindfulness, is that if it's really just the simple exercises of just following your breath, relaxing your body, you know, I don't see a problem with it, you know, if you're not going that deep, you know. And for me, it's just the Bible version of Christian meditation, because the Bible is full of meditation, right? For me, the reason why it does work for people and it's helping people is it's just put a Christian name on meditation, which has always been in the Word of God, right? That we should meditate and we just allow things to mull over our mind and strengthen us and give us hope. Amen? So I do believe that, you know, there is some place for it, you know, just with a caution. And so what they're teaching in the mindfulness is basically, your mind is in three dimensions, and today I'm calling this sermon the fourth dimension, which I'm talking about our spiritual dimension, amen? That supersedes all else, but there is still some human side of our physical brain that we can learn about from the neuroscientists. And so there's three dimensions. So one is a dimension of the past, and so we have what they call mental travel, and so our mind goes back into the past, right? And often, somehow our crazy mind often goes back into the negative past. We don't often think, oh, today I'll just think about this lovely day when I was 10 years old and I remember lying on my lilo in the beach and how wonderful it was. You know, not often, right? But something else that happened when I was 10 years old or something negative that happened, some trauma, you know, it'll go back there, right? And so we have this mental travel, so our mind is going back. And sometimes if there's a negative emotion, a negative thought, some failure, some kind of regret, we do what's called ruminating. It means we're just going over, 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 and we get stuck in a cycle of it. I've been there. I don't know if anyone else has been there, but I've been there, okay? I confess, I've been there. Also, the mental travel can go into the future. So you're worrying about the future or imagining the future or you're planning the future. You know, my mind is crazy like that, you know, because I'm like a visionary, I'm like a leader, and you know, there's always some future to consider, right? Or to plan for, right? Or maybe there's something you are thinking about, you'd rather not be in this season, you'd rather be in the next season, you know? Sometimes when I was living in America, I was so desperate to get on the field, my brain was already living in Indonesia and my body was just like walking around California, you know? So we have a mental travel where we can go go forward. And so what happened was people spending so much time mentally traveling into another time and space, back or forward, that they just miss right here. They just miss what God's doing right now. They just lose awareness of yourself, lose awareness of how amazing this day is, of how enjoyable it is, and lose focus, you know. And so what happens is when your mind is so busy over here, your mind is so busy over here, is that we lose actually, you know, what's happening right now and what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what we're experiencing. And so that's why they're talking about becoming grounded. And when they're asking you just to, you know, listen to your breath or watch your breath or what you're feeling or relax your body, it's just trying to say, come back. We're not in 1956 anymore. Come back. 2030 is not here yet, you know. Come back. Today is a great day. This is the day God's made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? And this is what's, you know, really helping people. And we also need mental downtime, right? Because Now we have phones, right? God bless the smartphone. And we are overstimulated. Our minds are overstimulated now. So from external forces of TV, smartphone, those things, but also our internal forces of this mental time travel, right? And so we need downtime. It's not time where there's nothing in your mind, but you just need time where you're just like doing nothing, not really thinking too deeply, you know? Just sitting, enjoying something, you know, looking at the sea, whatever, right? But we have to have mental downtime. And when our mind is busy being used up with traveling here, being stimulated, we lose focus, and we also, the neuroscientists say, we lose some of our working memory. So if you're having trouble remembering things because our mind just gets full and there's no more space, right? So it kicks out the working memory. So you're having trouble, you know, I'm just going through a time I just can't remember people's names, can't remember this, can't remember that, because there's no more space, right? It's too overstimulated to of our own internal thinking, and also overstimulated from the things from the outside. So, you know, I think these things is good to think about, to consider, you know. This is my summary of, you know, what I've kind of looked into it. Now, I think in this season of the smartphone and all of these kind of things, that there's two ways that we can come into an idolatry with our mind. Because the Bible says, love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Amen? So yes, we love God with our heart, but do you really love God with your mind? Amen? That we love God with our mind. And so one of those idolatry is, you know, the idolatry of pleasure, right? Because our mind is stimulated, we release dopamine, we get those things when we are playing games, when we are just even reading interesting news items or whatever we are doing. There is a pleasure, and you know what? It's okay to have that pleasure, but we have to put it in the right priority with other things in our life. Amen? And otherwise, we are not loving God with our mind. If our mind is always there, but we never have time for our mind to be on the Word of God, we never have time for some Christian book, we never have time, you know, just to meditate, or even just to make a plan, like I'm going to talk about, you know, just to structure your mind, then we're not really loving God with our mind. Amen? And this is one way we can worship and we can love God with our mind. Now, some of us, we use the phone more that way. We're more into games, TV, into that sort of entertainment. Other people like me, we can fall into the idolatry of knowledge, because now we have knowledge of everything, right? You know, somebody was telling me, one of my board members was saying, yeah, you don't need to do seminars. Even those in Borneo can do a free degree in Harvard. I said, the problem is they don't read. But, you know, it's true, you know. You can a lot of online free things. You can learn anything, you know, about the body. We've got Dr. Google. You know, we have everything, right? All the different Christian things, right? We have everything. And me, I'm a lover of that, you know. I got a sickness. I love to, you know, read everything about it, you know. Whatever the latest Christian spiritual thing came out, I'm there. You know, mindfulness, I'm there. You know, I love knowledge, you know. I love reading the news. I love all of those things. And the trouble is that these days, now we have the internet, there is no end to knowledge, right? There's no, like, okay, I just read that book and that's it. No, once you've done that, there's this. And there's no end to it. Now we've got AI, you know. It's just giving us another level of knowledge. I just don't even want to look at it. I don't want to be captured by it, you know, yet. One day I will, you know. But I just want us to, you know, God, I just really felt God convicting me with a scripture personally, 1 Corinthians 8, it's actually 1-3. Now, about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. Yeah. Those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know, but whoever loves God is known by God. Amen? And, you know, I think this happened in the COVID, you know, so much searching for knowledge on all the different sides that sometimes I think we got puffed up with our own knowledge on both sides of the argument. But the Bible says that knowledge puffs up, so we have to be careful that we're not just seeking knowledge and knowledge becomes everything. Amen? Like, knowledge is important, but if we are not careful, the knowledge that we have, it puff up, we get into arguments, we've studied something, we've looked at something on the internet, we're talking with somebody, yes, I'm the one that knows. Amen? But love is what builds up. Amen? And it says that we know God and we are known by God. Amen? Amen? And love, love is going to solve so many more problems than the knowledge, you know, because me, I'm a huge problem solver. There's a problem, I'm going to find the answer, you know. I'm going to research and look and deep, and I'm going to find A, B, C, D, here's the answer. But many times, it's not knowledge that's the answer. Many times, it's just love. Amen? Sometimes someone has a problem, and a hug might be the answer, you know. Might not be our counseling knowledge and all the other stuff that we know, right? It might not. It might just be a hug. It might just be to be listened to. Might just be to be known. That might be the answer. So we have to be very careful. I think, you know, in this day and age, that knowledge doesn't become. The second one I want to talk a little bit is about mental strongholds. So the Word of God talk about mental strongholds, and that's why we have to be so careful. We start playing something, especially something negative, over and over in our mind in the past, or we are playing a negative imagination of a scenario of something that we are worried about. We keep playing that over and over in our brains. It forms a mental stronghold, and even the neuroscientists know this now, that actually when you think a certain way over and over and over, it forms a pathway in the brain, you know, so that when there's a trigger or the starting thought, your mind is going to go there just like a robot, like a habit, right? Something in the past. Or there is a fear of something, you know, towards another person or somebody in your family, or a fear of about your finances or when you're retired or whatever, you know. There's a fear, and then that's that trigger. There's already like a mental pathway in the brain. But good news, even apart from the Word of God, God can do anything. But good news, even in the medical brain, the pathway can be changed, right? They found out the brain is like neuroplastic, you know. So we can change it. And so when we just think of those things, and eventually if you stay in a negative anxiety or negative thought or a negative trauma too long, you can create a stronghold, and a devil can hide behind that thought, right? And give a power to that thought. Now, don't be afraid of that. Oh, I just had a negative thought, you know. But if there is something over and over and over that we stay in a bitterness, right? Or we stay in an unforgiveness, we stay something like that, that can happen. And so it says here in 2 Corinthians 10, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage a war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Amen? We take captive our thoughts. Amen? Because you're going to have these wild, crazy thoughts running around, and it says you take captive of your thought. Amen? Just like our body, you know, sometimes we want to eat something or do something. We have to take captive, right? So you take captive of every thought. And it says the high knowledge, the lies that the devil brings against you, right? It says the knowledge that comes against God, because where there is a negative trauma, a negative unforgiveness, where there is a worry, that is a lie that come against you from the devil, right? To say that this is going to happen to your child, this is going to happen to your spouse, this is going to happen, right, in your life, or some plan is not going to work out. And so it's set up that stronghold in your mind, and sometimes it can even have some kind of demonic influence, right? But the Bible says we have divine power to pull down that stronghold, amen? So when we recognize that, we have to be aware, be in the moment, okay, I'm thinking like that, to take it captive, right? Not, oh, it's just there. No, it's not there. You can take it captive, amen? If the Bible says you can take it captive, means you can take it captive. And sometimes you might need to pray. There's some kind of a stronghold, you know, that has already come there. Okay, now to the good news. Okay, so Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is." Amen? Christ is above. Set your heart. And I believe actually that, you know, our heart is set there, you know, our heart is set there. But interestingly, it says seated at the right hand of God. Then it says, set your mind, amen? So it's not enough just my heart is following Jesus, my heart is with Jesus, amen? It's not enough. It says, set your heart above. And then it says, set your mind above, right? So we can't have, oh, my heart, I'm trusting in Jesus. I love Jesus. I'm surrendered to Jesus. I'm following Jesus. The Spirit of God is all over me. And there's my heart and my mind is down here, right? Like struggling, I'm worth it. I'm nothing, you know, I don't have enough, blah, blah, blah. Our mind is on another plane, amen? And it says, set your heart. Also, set, right? Like my sister's a cook, like set the jelly, amen? You know, make something firm, make something structured, put something somewhere, right? Set something somewhere. Set your mind, right? Set your mind on things above, amen? Praise God for, you know, mindfulness and all that stuff, you know? It actually helped me, you know? Praise God, amen? Praise God, you know, that we can come back and, okay, I'm not there, I'm here. Okay, oh, okay, I'm really here, you know, feeling my body, I'm here. But actually, I'm more than here, the fourth dimension for the Christian. I'm up there. Amen? My mind is up here. Hallelujah. It says, set your mind on the things above. That's where we're like an eagle, not like a little pecking hen. Amen? That's where we become like the eagle. So I'm going to talk a little bit now about how to do this. So how I came on this journey of really thinking about the mind. For those of you who don't know, we ran a Bible college more than 10 years, a two-year diploma. Came from Roberts Leader Ministries, which is a big, almost hyper-faith kind of ministry of victory and, you know, triumph. And we're one of those ones that people accuse of being hyper-faith. We came out of that ministry and we, just before COVID, we made a decision to close it because we want to focus on the church planting and on the Bible training in Borneo, you know. So for more than 10 years, every day, you know, Monday to Friday, you know, most days, or a lot of days, I mean, leading the morning prayer, it goes for 45 minutes and we will have a devotion about 20 minutes and then we pray in tongues and we worship, you know. And then almost every day of that 10 years, for nearly 2 hours, I've been teaching, you know, teaching faith, prayer, prosperity, healing, you know. And I loved it, you know, I loved it. When the school stopped, you know, I didn't realize that when I'm teaching the students, that I was helping myself. I was right up there about healing, prosperity. You know, there's some big bill, no problem. There's some big sickness, no problem. There's some big ugly demon doing weird things. No problem, you know. That my mind was just really right up there. Because 2 hours every day, I'm preaching it and teaching it. And I thought it was for them, but it was for me. You know, it was putting me right up there. And then when the school stopped and COVID thing, and then I didn't even, you know, struggle to even pray in the morning because I was going to the hospital at like 5:30, you know, in the morning. And it's like my whole mental mind just like was falling apart, you know, because it was amazing. And so I came to realize most people is not like me. They don't have a spare 2 hours every day to put their mind above, right? Put their mind up there. And even myself now, you know, the kind of work I'm doing in church planting, I don't have 2 hours a day to put my mind way up, you know, in this fourth dimension, way up there. And so it's like, what am I going to do, you know? And I've been doing all these little seminars. Every time we come back from church planting, everybody have a seminar and take them to the office, because we don't have an office now, co-working space. And okay, let's do 3 days on healing, you know, and then we'll go for 6 weeks, come back. Okay, let's do another seminar, you know, because hold on, you know, like we up our mind set up in this place, right? You know, which is still a good thing, you know, which, you know, we will still do that. But what I'm trying to do is like, capture what we had, you know, when we were, you know, day after day after day. And so I just want to show you what I feel for the busy person's life, what we should do. Now, this is in Proverbs, Proverbs 22, starting at verse 17. This is called, yeah, I never noticed this ever in the Bible, even though I teach Old Testament. I never noticed this most of my Christian life. But in the middle of Proverbs, there's 30 sayings of the wise. And these 30 sayings cover everything from disciplining your child to gluttony, you know, covers the whole thing. And it's called 30 sayings of the wise. It's actually a label there. And so, and the first three or four verses is actually saying number one. Okay, I really encourage you to look at it. You know, you follow those 30 sayings. They think maybe King Solomon wrote it, but they're not sure. You follow those, it might change your whole life, you know, 30 sayings of the wise. And so saying number one is to learn the sayings, right? And then there's the 29 sayings. So it says, pay attention and turn your ear to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you. Have I not written 30 sayings for you, sayings of counsel and knowledge, teaching you to be honest, to speak the truth, so that you bring back truthful reports to those who you serve? So King Solomon is saying, I'm giving you these 30 sayings, he said. And he said, it's pleasing if you can keep it in your heart and you have it ready on your lips. Amen? Because the problem is that we come to church on Sunday, me too, and we become excited, we enjoy the word, and then we've probably forgotten it by the time we ate lunch, you know? And it doesn't retain, you know, the essence of it retains, but the depth of it and the application of it, for the most part, mostly, it doesn't really retain. And so he was saying these 30 sayings, he's saying keep them in your heart, memorize them, have them inside of you, and have it on your lips, that you're speaking these things out. And he said, so, verse 19, so that your trust may be in the Lord. Amen? He says you need to have these things in your heart and in your mind, even though you love God. You have these things in your heart, in your mind, in your lips, so that you can trust the Lord. Amen? And we have all this anxiety, we have all of these things, because even though we know the word of God, even we hear it at church, we do our devotional, but it's not immediately there, you know, in our mind and in our heart. And so this is where I really just come to this next point that I want to talk about, is about making declarations. Now, and I know that we've had some talk, I think, in this church before. For me, our family came out a long time ago. We mostly had most of our life in this church. But we were in a denomination that was more like the liturgy, you know, and you follow through and you read things, you know. Maybe it's also like the Catholic, you know. And then we feel that as charismatics, we feel that's not good, you know. The reason why we feel that's bad is because when in that season of time, we would read out these things, Apostles' Creed and all these other things, and it didn't mean anything to us. We had not had an experience with Jesus Christ, really. So we go, blah, 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 blah. Okay, we did that. Turn the page, blah, 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 blah. Okay, Old Testament reading, blah, 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 blah. Okay, blah, 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 this creed. And okay, we're done, you know. And so when we came into this church and we found that, oh, you can just free pray, Jesus, blah, 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 you know, and all of this. Yes, this is truly Christianity, amen? This is truly the charismatics. We are the ones that have it, amen? And, of course, we 100% believe in free praise and free prayer and all of those things. But the truth is, sometimes our free prayer is not a faith prayer. Sometimes it's not really strongly based on the word of God, right? Sometimes it's a begging prayer. It's a bleeding prayer. You know, it's not always the element of faith. And it's not always there with us, amen? It's not always following with us. And so there begin to be, in the Christian world, a new interest in declarations and creeds and all of these things. Because why? Because we have a structure of something we can put in our mind, better if we could even memorize it and say it, so that when we need it, like the 30 sayings, when we need it to live our life, when we need it to control our mind, something is in there, amen? Because our free prayer is not in there, right? It just spontaneously, but it might not be in there at the time that you need it to be there. And I think Steve Buckland's been to this church, Wendy, and Steve Buckland, he's like the king of declarations to me, you know? So if you need, and I believe that declarations really one of the ways when we are very busy, I understand you have hours a day to be in the Word of God, and we really want to take control with our mind. Now, what's good, you can make the declaration to fit for yourself. Amen? So you have a problem with your husband or with your wife or, you know, with your child or your condition or your health or your situation. You can make a declaration, right? And all you need to do is put some, you can just memorize some scriptures together. Or even better, you put your own name in there. Amen? And then have a consistency about it. And you'll find it's very powerful. Because we have situations in our life that's very painful for us, that we cannot control, that we need a solution for. And the truth is, I believe the truth is, it is for me. You pray about it, but probably not every day. And you just pray kind of here and there, something, you know? But to actually have a true faith declaration that every day you pray, it's very powerful, right? Now, one of the reasons here we have a declaration, right, in the beginning of the service, that's because in the outside world, everything's about entertainment now, right? We don't do things just to be a good citizen, just to be a responsible citizen, right? Just for our duty. We don't do that anymore. We do things that satisfy our sense of entertainment. So that's why they had to make a declaration, so that when we come in here, our mind is according to a Christian mind, that we don't have to have where we feel entertained, right? But we coming to worship the Lord. Amen? And we'll be blessed. So that's why we make that declaration. So we set our mind onto where we want our mind to be. Amen? And so, and then in faith, the good thing about faith is not the true present now, right? Faith is believing what it can be. Amen? Or what God has paid the price for. And so if you have a trouble with a husband or a wife, you say, in the name of Jesus, you know, my husband is kind. My husband loves me as God loves the church. You know, you can use all the scriptures, right? My husband, you know, believes in God. My husband is a lover of me. My husband is respectful. My husband is blessed. My husband is prospering. My husband, his health is growing stronger every day. Amen? Amen. And you say it. And you know what's really amazing in Indonesia? You know, Indonesia is an amazing country, but it's very subject to disasters because of just where it lies on the earthquake, very subject to earthquakes, volcanoes, landslides, and flooding. All four of those things, very subject to those. Also, it can be very volatile with the politics. So different kinds of parties. We have a good party in now, but different kinds of religious views. And, you know, things can change quickly there. And the churches have a declaration. It takes about 3 or 4 minutes to say it. And these people, hundreds of thousands, could be millions of people, is saying that every day. In the name of Jesus, there's no earthquake, there's no tsunami, there's no landslide, there's no volcano. The politics is in harmony. The tribes are together like this. And they say it. The lepers say it. The handicapped say it. Wherever we go, every outreach, everybody says it. Kind of like the national pledge, you know. And it's amazing because millions of Christians is praying that for the country. Are we praying for our country? You know, are we praying for our government? Or are we just like seeking knowledge and news and puff up with what should be? And the Bible says, first and foremost, pray for your leaders, pray for your country. Amen? And we could make a declaration. What do we believe about New Zealand? You know, what do we believe for our future? Amen? And so you can make one, or, you know, you can also find one, you know. If you have a look, they have ones for husbands and wives and all sorts of things on the Steve Buckland's website. So this is one of the declarations that they have. This is actually 50 of them, but I just took 10. Otherwise, you have lunch. He says, the truth will make me free. I do small things in a great way. Having done all I know to do, I stand. I am anointed. I am called of God. My prayers are powerful and effective. My soul is prospering. I am going forward in life. I run at my Goliath. I love that one. If this doesn't work out, something better is coming. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah, makes you feel good, right, in your mind. Amen? I run at my Goliath. Amen? And so just imagine, you know, if you got up in the morning and you're saying, the truth will make me free. I'm anointed. I'm called. I'm running at my Goliath. If something doesn't work out, it's going to work out in the future. Amen? You're just praying what is the word of God for your life. Amen? Putting it on that faith dimension. And so I really just encourage everybody to know that, you know, there is an assault on our mind from the devil, because he's jealous of who you are. But there's also an assault, you know, that comes through social media, you know, of who you should be and what you should be and what other people are, right? There's an assault that's coming. There's an overstimulation of your mind, right? Easy for us to get puffed up with the knowledge. Easy for us to become idolatrous with the pleasure, you know, that we are getting from from the TV or the Netflix or from the phone, escaping from things. And just as you're giving time, you're giving attention to your spirit man, you're giving attention to your body, you know. We must give attention to our mind, amen. And this is also a way you can really train your children, because if your family has a declaration, you know, you set them in the beginning of the day with something in their mind, amen, something that they memorize, something they know. It might just be 30 seconds, right? We just come together. Okay, I'm called, I'm anointed, right? I am this, God is with me, I am never alone, I'm never forsaken, amen. And, you know, I wrote one about abandonment one time, because I did I don't know, those of you who know about Enneagram, you know, it's kind of like one of those survey things, you know, and you find out your personality and what's the root thing of your personality, you know, that made your personality how you are. One of the one was abandonment, which makes sense because of, you know, the story of my father abandoning us when I was 5 years old. And and I read a Christian book, and it had all these different scriptures and things and sayings. And so there was a season where, you know, I just get up every day, and it only took like 2 or 3 minutes, you know, but I would just say those scriptures, and I'd just say those verses and just speak those things. So there's in my subconscious, right, because some things is in our conscious, some's in our subconscious, that I'm strengthening, you know, that part of my heart. Amen? And so what's amazing is, you know, you do be aware what's in your mind, and you can put something else in there. And it's kind of like medicine. It might not work the first day, but you keep putting it in there, putting it in there, putting it in there. Amen? Something's going to change in your life. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's not have a crazy mind that's pushing us down. Amen? But we have a healthy mind. We can just have the worship team come back up here. Let's just stand and pray about this. I'm just going to pray first, maybe somebody at home or somebody here. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, never given your mind, right, to come under the Lord Jesus Christ, never gave your body to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. He came here on earth to rescue your mind, to rescue your heart, to rescue your life, and rescue your salvation. And he died on the cross and rose again to have a victory, to live in a higher place, right? Even though the world may offer many solutions, but it's that we live in that higher place where Jesus Christ lives, in the thrones of heaven. That's where you live. That's where your home is. So I'm just going to pray. Anyone like that, just agree in your mind. Just agree for that. Lord Jesus, just come to you today. Lord God, I just surrender my heart to you, Lord God. Father, I surrender my mind, Lord God, to love you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul, Lord God, with all of my strength, Lord God. Jesus, I just ask you to come into my heart. I just ask you, Lord, to become Lord of my life. I believe you died for me. I believe that you've forgiven me, and I believe that you rose again. I could become the Son of God, the daughter of God, living in a higher place, living in a new kingdom, living in a new spiritual family. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray for every person here, Lord God. Father, I pray that we are the people of God that have a healthy mind, Lord God. Father God, that we are protected from the evil one. We're protected from, Lord God, the thoughts and the concepts of culture that do not belong to the kingdom of God. That, Lord God, we are the people that we take time, Lord God. Father God, to be aware of our mind, to take captive our thoughts, to be really present, Lord God. Father God, God, we thank you for all the truths in the Word of God. Father, we pray, Lord God, the 30 wise sayings, Lord God. Father God, the truth of who we really are, the truth of who our husband and wives really are, the truth of who our sons and daughters are, the truth of our future, the good future that you have for us. Lord God, the truth, Lord God, of our eternal life, the truth of our healing, the truth of our deliverance over every trauma, Lord God. Father God, the promises and the truths of the Word of God is infiltrated into our mind. It's present in our mind. It's alive in our mind. It's sitting in our mind. Lord God. Father God, it's directing our day. It's directing our future. It's changing our life, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for the declarations in Scripture, the Psalms and the Proverbs, Lord God, the things that were spoken out. And Lord, I pray that we are the people of God, that we speak out that which is truth, Lord God, that which is, Father, especially for our country, Lord God, that we declare what this country will be. We declare in the heavens, Lord God. We declare in the spiritual realm, Lord God, your future future, your plans that you have for this great country, Lord God, that you have for the people that are struggling, Lord God, the people that don't have enough finances, the people that are struggling, Lord God, the domestic abuse, all of those things, Lord God, that, Father, we believe that you are working powerfully. And, Lord God, that thousands, Lord God, if not millions of Christians, Lord God, believing something for this country, praying something for this country, Lord God. Father God, set us to be those people, Lord God. Father God, that have a structure, that have a mind, Lord God, that's being used for the kingdom of God, that's useful for the kingdom of God. And Lord, most of all, that we have a mind, Lord God, that's loving your word and that's loving who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.